Ever since the invention of the safety razor at the turn of the century, looking professional means one thing for a man, a close, clean shave. Even after the freewheeling 60s reintroduced beards to pop culture, our politicians and CEOs are still more likely to resemble Don Draper than Abraham Lincoln. But lately, American culture has embraced a bushier look. From Ben Affleck and George Clooney to writer strikes and the Boston Red Sox, the beard is back. And this Saturday, you can celebrate the fact at the second annual City of Fountains Beard and Mustache Competition. And joining me now is Garland Rankin. He's the current vice president of the Kansas City Beard and Mustache Club. Garland, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Now, our listeners can't see this, but Garland has quite an impressive beard. How would you describe it for our listeners?
It's a charcoal beard. It's 8 inches and under.
Yeah.
That's the category it falls under.
Yeah. There are categories
full,
for
full
these
beard.
Things.
Yeah, full beard, 8 inches and under.
You have a beard. Why? And why do I need one? Maybe the bigger question is, could I grow one?
Anybody can grow one.
Can I? There's hope for guys like
yes.
me.
Yeah. One reason I do it is because I belong to the National Fraternity of Real Santos with Real Beards.
Santa Claus.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and do you bleach that thing?
I bleach it white every year when it comes
Christmas
yes.
time?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. If that doesn't do it justice, is it ample enough for you to play Santa every year? Do you have enough beard there to do it the right way?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. This is plenty. This is the longest one I've ever had.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The kids, as long as they see a white, full, natural beard, they're happy.
Okay. Also joining us is Tara Shaw. She's a stylist and owner of Calico Beard and Mercantile, which I understand not only deals with facial hair, but a variety of retro or vintage hairstyles as well. And Tara, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Your salon is sponsoring this year's competition. What's your relationship to the Beard and Mustache Club, Tara? Or are you just a facial hair enthusiast in general?
A little bit of both, yeah. I just recently started a beard product line that is made in-house and sold in-house, and I had a few of the competitors stop by to purchase it, and that's when I found out what exactly was going on Saturday. And jumped online and decided to be a vendor and a sponsor.
So are beards and mustaches really that much in vogue these days?
It really is. I was kind of talking about this with some of the crew that worked here yesterday, how it seems to be almost like an additional accessory to a person's fashion or a person's look, kind of something that I think is a little bit of a throwback into a bit of the blue-collar kind of feel that's turned a little bit more professional and mainstream. So, yeah, it's just a way I think that people can kind of get their image out there with one extra accessory.
You know, Garland, it just strikes me as like a lot of work. Or am I wrong?
It can be a lot of work. I assume if you let it get out of control. But we try to stress maintenance. A little bit of maintenance every day makes it a lot easier, I'm sure.
Garland, is it a lot of work?
I don't consider it no more work than having a full head of hair.
Yeah.
So, bingo. Yeah.
I keep my head shaved,
I just about the same as bangs.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Garland, your head is shaved. You don't have any top of the head here, so you're
concentrate on the beard.
Too much maintenance.
Yeah. Garland, let me ask you this. A lot of people wonder. You probably get asked this a lot. Why a beard and mustache club of all things?
It's just a way of great people to get together that have one common thing: enthusiasts for facial hair, and we like to form times together, get out and help the community. There's a common bond that we have is with the facial hair.
So one of the main focuses is it's a service club.
Right. We do a lot of charity work. We volunteer at Harvesters. As for the competition, we have two charities that we're doing for Unleashed and Operation Breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. But when it comes to topics at meetings, what do you talk about? And do you have like guest speakers come in and talk about facial hair? Or how does this work?
We basically talk how we're going to work our charities that month and how what other activities we're doing. And we're just like a full functioning club. And we have a gathering and everybody meets. And yeah, we do exchange beard methods and
tips.
Ideas and tips and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, give me a tip that you might talk about at one of your meetings. Like what might come up? I'm just curious.
How can I change
I don't know anything about.
How can I change the style of my beard? Mm-hmm. What do you think if I go from a beard to a goatee?
Yeah. Tara, have you been a guest speaker at one of these meetings?
I have not. This is my very first interaction with the actual club. Sadly, I didn't even know that it existed. And when I was very excited. Not only are they beard enthusiasts, but like you just mentioned, they do a lot of charity work. And I think that's kind of helping to get the former stereotype of a bearded gentleman, this big, rough, like careless person that, you know, totally in reverse. But no, this is probably my first encounter with actually speaking to one of the members. So, yes, hello.
We're talking about beard and mustaches and the Kansas City Beard and Mustache Club. Now, part of what interested us in this segment, Garland, was just how much fun some of this stuff is. What are some other highlights from the past year you might point to?
Oh, the past competition?
Yeah, right.
I mean, we had a great turnout. I mean, it was our first ever annual competition.
And what are you competing? What's the competition about?
We have 15 different categories, and people choose the category based on the style of the facial hair. And then we have four judges. They'll judge them on the style of the beard, how it looks on them, the fullness, and everything, you know, what appeals to them as a person.
See, fullness would trip me up. I'm incredibly good looking, but the fullness thing would probably trip me up.
You never know.
Yeah, I think I do know. I don't think it would work very well. But you have these different categories, and what are some of the categories that you're looking at here?
We have like a mustache natural, which would just be your mustache, and then we have mustache styled, where they can style the handlebars, you know, turn it up.
Yeah.
And then we have full beard, under 2 inches, what we call the business beard. Because
uh-huh.
As people have to keep their beard close for businesses.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a full beard 8 inches and under, full beard 8 inches and over.
And you're 8 inches and under,
right.
You said, right. 8 inches and over, that's getting pretty serious.
That's getting, yeah, we have some that's, you know, 2 feet long.
How long would it take you to grow a 2 foot long beard?
I don't think I'd ever get there.
You could, why not?
It's just everybody's hair grows different. Facial hair.
So some people can't grow a beard 2 feet long?
Right, and some can.
I
some
did
people
not.
Can't. I've mm-hmm. had one client that's been trying for years, and he hasn't reached much past the foot.
Yeah. All right, how do you help someone like that, Tara?
You condition, and you exfoliate, and tell them to eat lots of good stuff. Try to get vitamins to help mm-hmm. it grow. But he's right. I mean, it's the same with the length of the head of hair. Sometimes it's just genetics. It won't go any longer.
Does that make a difference, Tara, this notion that you can eat the right things and massage the face and stuff, and that's going to help your beard grow longer?
It is. And at first it sounds just a little bit whimsical, but then when you think about just, you know, basically breaking it down, and you are what you eat, and if you do, you know, better food and intake better, like your hair and your nails do grow longer. We've even noticed, like, a lot of times in the summer, hair grows a lot quicker than it does in the winter because there's more fresh fruits, more vitamins, more just even sun, being outside, almost like the energy of spring and summer. So, yeah, it definitely does play a part.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the philosophy behind all this, I guess if there is a philosophy behind all this. It strikes me that there's sort of a yen, you know, for simpler times going on here. Men don't have
yes.
to worry about shaving every day. There's a rugged, you know, rugged individualism going on. Tara, you provide all kinds of products that you've mentioned here and services for men who put real effort into making their facial hair look great. Hey, how do you see these different ideas interacting there?
I mean, it's almost a paradox. Like you were just mentioning, oh, yeah, we want to have less effort, so I'm going to let my beard grow out so I don't have to worry about shaving, but then you have to exfoliate and put in oil every day. You know, it's kind of a complete paradox of what you're trying to get accomplished. However, I think there's a happy medium, and men that want to have the beard and want to have not only the look but the ease of effort, there's a little bit of almost like a compensation that they have to do to kind of maintain that in the business world. I know before the whole trying to keep it trimmed and before there was beard oil and different exfoliations and methods known, that's probably why a lot of the negative connotation for having a beard and no beards at work, because of the dry skin that, you know, would entail afterwards. And even beards get like split ends. And if you're not maintaining and trimming them, they can start to look a little ratty. So I think it's just men like, yeah, I don't want to shave and I don't want to do that every day, but I'll do this minimal effort, keep everyone around me, work and home life happy, and then I still get to keep my beard.
What's this oil stuff you're talking about, Tara? Why would you oil a beard, and what does that do?
Well, we have two. We usually try to stress with all of our clients, if you can take care of the skin, that's the first step, and then the hair will basically just be a response to whatever's going on with the skin. So keeping your skin moisturized and exfoliated, it kind of helps to condition the hair and have a better, I guess, root for it to grow from. So if you exfoliate the skin and remove all of the dry, you know, in the changing of the seasons that kind of happens, and then you put oil at the face, then as the beard grows out, it doesn't get dry, it stays moisturized, and then the beard oil also can go topically on the beard.
Yeah.
Just because, like we were talking about, different people have different hair types. Some people have a very soft beard. Some people have a very dry, coarse beard. And if you want to maintain it and get it longer, a split end means that it's going to get shorter. So you're kind of chasing your tail.
Huh.
And then we do, just to kind of compensate for the different types, if you don't need too much moisture and your face is fine, we have like a beard spray also, which is just kind of a topical on top of the beard.
Mike, this is getting complicated here. It's getting expensive too, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why we started doing our own in-house line. I was looking at different products to try to carry, and most of what was in it was a bunch of synthetic oils, lots of chemicals, and it was an insane price point. So we just went all natural, all organic, and about half price of what all the chemical stuff was doing. So our clients seemed to be quite ecstatic. Started out as a service to them,
right,
and turned into, yeah, quite a little product line.
Well, Garland, what about you here? I mean, as one of the bearded folks yourself, where do you see simplicity, you know, versus a thoughtful concern for appearance? How do you match that up?
I mean, as far as how it looks?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it looks great. I mean, I have a lot of people come up and compliment me on my beard. Mm-hmm. Said, oh, I wish I could grow one that long, or I wish my other half would let me have one that long. And
yeah. And you definitely see them coming back into style, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. There are, I mean, it's sort of like it's a revolution. Everybody's coming back. I mean, the old-time show that was on a couple of years ago, Whisker Wars.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of started fueling it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And
Duck Dynasty.
And Duck Dynasty, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Even as far back as like, oh, brother, where art thou?
Well, true.
Kind of that whole time frame of, yeah. And you were mentioning in the intro it trickling down into, like, from celebrities down to mainstream.
Yeah.
With Brad Pitt and some of the bigger George Clooney, the images out there. And if they can do it, why can't I?
You know, Garland, yeah. The Duck Dynasty folks got into trouble, obviously, for their views on sexuality. But how do you balance that celebration of manliness with, you know, more modern concerns for gender sensitivity?
It's just a style. I mean, we just go with it. And
yeah, yeah.
Like I said, we're all common for enthusiasts of facial hair.
Yeah.
No matter what walk of life you are. So.
Yeah. You know, Tara, this idea that men can grow beards but women can't, is that just a case of gender differences or a chance for men to catch up and seeing as we've traditionally lagged behind in matters of style? How do you view that?
I think it's just a little bit more of men kind of having a bit more time and energy and care in trying to have their own personality come out in their image. It's most of our clients that come in, you know, they have the 9-to-5, they have to have the job, and for a part of it, it's, you know, a little bit disheartening, I'm sure, to have to go into the office and do. You'd rather be outside working with your hands, et cetera, and it's kind of a way that they can take that personality with them. So I think it's just a little bit more about self-expression than just jumping on a trend. But
yeah.
I think anytime there's a trend and you see more of them around, you know, for example, tattoos or other things that have started to come out as more of a socially acceptable thing, I think it gives people a little bit of courage that they've always wanted a beard and they've always shaved theirs off because their job required it, and now they don't have to.
What thoughts do you have, Tara, on this notion that facial hair is somehow unprofessional? Because you hear that sometimes. How do you respond to that?
Well, you were mentioning like Mad Men.
Yeah.
I think it trinkle, you know, it still goes back to that era of this is what a professional person looks like. And you need this three-piece suit and you need this specific haircut and you need a clean shaven face. I mean, gentleman who plays Don Draper was interviewed saying that he has to shave sometimes 3 times per day when they're shooting because you have to maintain that look. I think society's just kind of evolving and getting a little bit looser with their ideals of keeping stark restrictions. I think with the downplay in the economy, a lot of people have been forced to try out different jobs than just their 9-to-5 job that they had maintained a certain image for so long, and they're getting just to play a little bit around with their own expression and how they want to come across.
Yeah.
By necessity, but now it's turning into by choice.
Garland, do you see a lot of stereotypes at work with folks who choose to have facial hair?
Oh, yeah. My work, I've seen several people. I mean, we have about half and half. I'd say half have facial hair and the other half I mean, and there's many styles, goatees, beards, mustaches.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a coming back trend.
Well, when does the second annual City of Fountains Beard and Mustache Competition, when does it take place?
It takes place this coming Saturday, August 9th at 7 o'clock at the Uptown Theater in the Valentine Room.
You can just, like, go and watch?
Yes. There is a spectator fee of $10 to get in, and anybody can come and watch.
And you have judges there, and the whole thing is ready to go.
We have two sets of judges, and we have sign-off auction items. We have raffles. We have a full bar. I mean, we're a full blown-out competition.
Tara, you going to be there?
I'm definitely going to be there. I'm going to be there with a vendor booth, and then we are also sponsoring one of the silent auctions. And then our one of our members here, our barber, is going to be there competing. So
right.
We're going to be very well represented.
Well, you guys have been great. Tara Shaw is a stylist and owner of Calico Beard and Mercantile. Tara, thanks so much for your time.
Yes, thank you.
Garland Rankin is a vice president of the Kansas City Beard and Mustache Club. So good to have you, too, Garland.
Thank
thanks
you very
for coming
much.
In.